B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
So now our next guest will have, I think, a really good outlook on this whole question that we've been discussing. He covers the Eagles for The Athletic. And every Tuesday, he and his colleague at The Athletic, Zach Berman, go over various questions. And I find it very interesting today that they talked about the dynamic of Peterson and Wentz. So let's welcome on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, Bo Wolf. Hello, Bo.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Let's get right into this Carson thing. We've been talking about it for most of the day, and I have a theory about this whole thing. And I was interested in reading the story today where you're going back and forth with Zach Berman. And so here's what you say. You know what I thought was odd about Peterson's discussion of Wentz? The way he talked about carefully considering how he coaches the fifth-year quarterback. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, it was interesting yesterday. Doug was asked about the way that he coaches guys and the way that he coaches Carson specifically. And he said something, along the lines of he doesn't want to come across as too harsh. He doesn't want to lose that relationship with the quarterback as the signal caller. And he talked about the importance of that relationship. And, it's interesting just to follow how their relationship has evolved over the past couple of years. If you think back to 2017, Carson and Doug, they had these like weekly meetings. I think it was Thursday nights where they would go over the game plan. And I think they stopped having those in 2018. Now, I'm sure that Doug would say that that's because, Carson at that point was still, had become like fully comfortable in the offense. They didn't need those meetings. But, that has changed. And it's a little bit unnerving, I guess, that we are in, year five. And it still feels like every game with Carson Wentz is a referendum on his entire career. And you have Doug yesterday saying that the interception to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was unacceptable. He shouldn't make that throw. Those are not things you want to hear about a fifth-year quarterback.
Yeah, but conversely, here's the thing that also was connected to that same press conference. He was asked the question about why do you think that Carson has regressed. Now, that's a judgment we all make, and we clearly, as a fan, look at it and go, yeah, he's regressed. But the last thing I expect the coach to do is say something like, that's a good question. Did that throw you?
Yeah, it did a little bit. Doug is in these Zoom press conferences, you have to take everything he says with a bit of a grain of salt. I thought that was a bit of an interesting concession on his part. At the same time, he would be silly for him to pretend like these were not two very bad games for Carson Wentz. I think he could, make a good case this is probably the worst two-game stretch of his career in year five. It's the first time he's had two games with back-to-back multiple interception games. So, it would be silly if he was going to try to tell us that, Carson was playing well right now.
All right, but do you see a connection between this organization right now and their quarterback, or do you see a disconnection?
Well, I think you do have to consider that part of the messaging that they had this offseason was that they wanted to make it Carson's team. They thought that the end of the season, when Carson was able to rally the troops with those, band of practice squad castoffs and finish the season 4-0, was a lesson for them that they wanted to make this Carson's team, give him some young players to grow with. I think that was part of the reason that they moved on from Malcolm Jenkins, so that this could become, truly Carson Wentz's locker room. And so if you think about it from that standpoint, I think it's fair to say that they wanted to make this more Carson's team. At the flip side, they draft a quarterback in the second round, and they wouldn't do that if they had complete faith in Carson Wentz. So I think it's sort of mixed messaging.
All right, let's go down that avenue, because this is the avenue that we've walked down all day today. Now, I believe that they are distancing themselves away from Carson. And I don't mean this in a conspiratorial way. I mean it in a logical way. And one of my biggest flaws as a human is to be overly logic. All right. So we'll use that as a backdrop. But I tack things together and I go, okay, the drafting of Jalen Hurts says what? And what does it say to your starting quarterback? Then you go into the Ertz thing, where they didn't make him happy with the Ertz thing. They're good friends. They're going to move on from Zach Ertz. Then it was the offensive line that they didn't button down and wasted 10 days, which isn't helping your quarterback. And then yesterday he says that's a good question when asked whether he's regressing. Does that seem like that they are really married to Carson Wentz?
Well, I mean, I don't read quite as much into it as you do, especially with, you know, the offensive line. And the Ertz thing, I think, you know, the Ertz thing, logically, you would look at it and say they do have a guy in Dallas Goedert who's there to potentially take over, as, you know, acknowledging that Ertz and Wentz are definitely close. But the Hurts pick, I mean, there's no way at all to read it and say that they wouldn't have made that pick, or they would have made that pick, if they had complete confidence that Carson Wentz was going to be the guy forever and that he wasn't injury prone. It's impossible to divorce those two things, especially when, you know, they didn't have another second-round pick. They had given away a third-round pick. It's not like this team didn't have a lot of short-term needs, and you're seeing that now. This is an old team that needed an infusion of youth, and for them to take a luxury pick in the second round, I'm sure they would say that it's because they value that quarterback position and, you know, the quarterback factory and all that stuff. But if they were 100% convinced that Carson Wentz was the guy forever, they absolutely would have made that pick, and it would have made no sense.
All right, so... Let me ask you a general question then, because you observe this team on a daily basis. What do you believe is wrong with this team right now?
Well, I think it's multi-layered, and you look at the three tentpoles. Is it the quarterback? Is it the coaching staff? And is it the personnel and the way the team was constructed? I think they share all three, very heavily right now. I mean, Carson Wentz is playing very badly, probably as we said, the worst stretch of his career. The coaching staff. They got pantsed on defense against Sean McVay. Jim Schwartz acknowledged that today. And on offense, they are making things hard for themselves as they have for the past 2 years. Everything is so congested. There's very little creativity. While the rest of the league is rolling out this new stuff, we're seeing exactly what we've seen from the Eagles in the past. And then this is also a very old team. And, you look at like the top 10 contracts on this team. It's Carson Wentz and then 9 guys who are going to be 30 at the end of the year. And there's no help on the outside at wide receiver. They made an off-season decision to try to fortify the defense instead of addressing the offense. And, Darius Slay's been good, and their defense is still very bad. So that tells you that was maybe not the right way to go about things. So as the rest of the league is, focusing on having an explosive offense, you've got the Eagles trotting out 12 personnel 68% of the time when, the number two team is at like 31%. So, it's just a very sloggy offense, a defense that struggles a lot. I think they all share a part of it. I think, it's not looking good right now.
All right. I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm going, after six, this looks like a 1-5 team. And so if you take that even further, just say after eight, they're 2-6. Do they change the quarterback?
I don't think so. I mean, I think now I'm sort of with you that if it gets to 3/4 of the way, towards the season, and they are like eliminated from the playoffs, then yeah, like you have to see what Jalen Hurts has. He, just in terms of, knowledge gathering and knowing how you should proceed moving forward, if it happens to be that Jalen Hurts is some dynamo, then yeah, you need to know that. But I think once they flip that switch, they know that there's really no unflipping it. So I think they'd have to be really, really out of it for them to make that move.
All right. I believe that they already in their head have decided that they're going to be better off with Jalen Hurts, and they've got a couple years to rest on that premise, and they'll let this guy die on the vine and then move him for value. So that's what I think. Now, I don't know if that's, maybe I'm going too far, but I'm firmly in that camp right now, as I don't understand why a coach would answer a question about his quarterback's regression and say, oh, I don't think he's regressed. Instead, he says, that's a good question. I just can't get past it. I'm sorry.
Well, I think Doug's had a lot of sort of, missteps along the way that he would be happy for you to look into as well.
Yeah, all right. So he's changed a little bit because, he got into a little beef with you a couple weeks ago when you asked a very legitimate question about the offensive line getting dominated, and he came at you. He's different. What has changed about this coach?
Well, I think you have seen this from Doug in the past when the team gets down. He sort of snipes a little bit more at the media and tries to, insulate the team and make it us against them. And it gets a little bit tiresome. Like, it doesn't always have to be nobody believed in us. You don't have to start 0-2 just so you can, build up that narrative. That question the other day, I think he just didn't really hear what I had said, because I said, you might think that it was because of the offensive line, and he sort of jumped on that. I'm sure he was tired of hearing about how bad the offensive line was that whole week. And, credit to them, the offensive line looked good in week 2. They changed the game plan up, so I give them some credit there. But Doug, he does sort of, he has this mentality sometimes where he wants to be a little bit snipey, and there's a funny little thing in his book which he says, like, he goes into every press conference with a game plan. And so, like, I think sometimes his game plan is to just act sort of antagonistic and send that message to the team for whatever reason.
All right. Well, Bo, you did a good job. You do a good job. You have a great demeanor to be a beat writer, be unaffected by stuff. And they were talking about Wolf, the Athletic, who covers the Eagles. Last question. You still playing basketball?
It's been a while. I haven't played since the pandemic started, but I'd like to get back out there.
Oh, so you are still playing. Well, good for you, man. I've retired.
We'll see how much longer the knee's hold up.
Yeah, I'm 100 years old. I'm done. All right, man. Listen, thanks.
Jack didn't stop Jack.
What's that? Yeah, well, but it's stopping me. I got nothing left. All right, we'll talk to you up the road.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, it's Bo Wolf on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast. All right, he's got a good demeanor.
Yeah,
you gotta have that. You gotta be able to bounce if you're a beat writer.